It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And on this week's episode, we are going to run through Week 15 waiver wire targets. Adam, what's going on, man? How was your weekend? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I got, you know, a couple first round buys in two of my most important leagues, and that's what we're here to talk about, man. It's playoff season. Week 15, majority of leagues for fantasy are starting their playoffs here, and look, you may think your team is solidified, you may think your team is good to go, but A, you can always add more depth and just overall, you know, who knows what's going to happen. We had like 30 plus players test positive for COVID on Monday. Like, things can change in a second. And two, try to block your opponents from adding some good players. And there are a couple viable players to add off waivers ahead of week 15. So, yeah, other than the blatant terrible officiating in the NFL, which I'm not going to get into because I talked about it on the NBA stream with Zach Graham yesterday. So, yeah, other than that, I'm good.
Dude, it's been crazy. And yeah, the officiating was terrible again on Monday Night Football. I mean, Matthew Stafford almost has his head ripped off by a face masking call. But, you know, you and I, like, went on a long 10 to 15 minute rant before we turned the mics on. So we'll rehash all of that just to say that it's bullshit. Okay. And then we'll move on, man. Before we get into all of these waiver wire targets, telling people who to target and who to pick up before week 15, got to tell everybody, again, man, about the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer Package. We got subs taken down, big contests.
Seriously.
We had, oh, baby. If you were on the timeline, you were on Twitter, you saw this on the feed. One of our subs took down a contest, he was in the top five, took home 30K. You really love to see it. And so if you're wanting to build your bankroll, just like the other FTN Daily subs, get signed up today. It's starting at $49 a month. This is all for sports optimizers, player roster projections. One low price, people. Use the code FTNTV, 15% off of every single month. Not just one, but every month. So get signed up today, man. And again, we keep talking about winning streaks. We're talking about what the subs are doing. Dude, if people have not been checking out the free pick tracker over at FTN Daily, this is free, people. So if you go to FTNDaily.com, you go to DFS Picks, you can go down there, you get free picks from all of our analysts. This, like, go head to Twitter and check out my timeline. I'm up a boatload of units, so tail the action and get signed up today. But this is all to talk about Top Prop, man. I'm on a heater. I think I've taken down like my last three or four in a row. So if you want this smoke, you want the action, come meet me in the battleground. Legit, this is one of the easiest places to play daily fantasy. And unlike other platforms where you're playing against thousands, hundreds of people, it's just you and one other person, man. Head-to-heads. So all you're simply saying is that the fantasy player that I pick scores more than yours. That's it. That's it. Done. Done deal. So if you want this action, you want to meet me in the battleground, head to topropfantasy.com right now. Get signed up with the promo code FTN50. And look, I'll be posting my head-to-heads every single week, every single game. So meet me in the battleground today. Adam, let's kick off these waiver wire ads, man. Who's the first player at the top of your list right now?
I mean, I feel like I should let you start because when we did a lot of the underdog drafts this summer and stuff like that, you were pretty high on as one of your top kind of late round players, Mr. Rashad Penny. And it looks like now he is the lead back for the Seattle Seahawks. So, yeah, I think we have to start Rashad Penny, right? I mean, dominates Houston on Sunday with a huge game. And you look at what he did, and yeah, he obviously had a huge game, but it was the runs he broke off, right? Like 120 of his rushing yards came after contact. He forced like five or six missed tackles, stiff-armed a defender, and had a huge game. There was reports that before the game, or the days coming before the game, that he would split carries with Alex Collins. That really wasn't the case. I believe it was 16 carries for Penny and 7 for Collins. And then after the game, I think it was yesterday, The Seahawks pretty much said that Penny's going to be their lead back the rest of the way. And yes, the matchups aren't great. I think they have the Rams and the Bears, a couple not incredible matchups, but who cares at this point? We're in week 15, a team that wants to run the football. Penny has been a talented player. It's just he's not stayed healthy. Right now, he's healthy. So he has RB2 potential for the playoff run here as the starting running back for the Seahawks.
I don't disagree, man. I think it's a fantastic place to start. And yeah, we were talking about him in best ball season. And, you know, look, we're staring down week 15 and it took all the way to here. But this is the guy that, like, if he was at the end of your best ball drafts, he was free for multiple weeks and months. And then all the injury news popped in camp and stuff. And then he was like basically last round flyer. This is why you pick up last round guys in best ball. Like, he could be a hammer down the stretch to take teams to the top, man, and for help you to get fantasy championships. Like, you're talking about a guy that, yes, like, for all the reasons you stated, Adam, like, 17 total touches, 137 yards, got two scores on the ground, and you talked about the matchups, dude. Like, the Rams are not a matchup we want to target, okay? That's fine. But you're telling me that he gets the Bears, who you can definitely run the ball on. They're all banged up on the in the secondary, in the middle, like with their linebackers and on the defensive line. You could run the ball on the Bears and they get the freaking Lions the week after that? Hell yes. Like, I would be blowing whatever you got left because the running back position is so terrible in fantasy right now. You have all of these RB3 types that are pushed up into top 12, top 15 status. Like, Devonta Freeman's the world and people are like, oh, is he a top 20 back? Well, not really, but I guess. Rashad Penny is going to be in that top 15 to 20 conversation on a weekly basis as the lead back in this offense. I'm not worried about Adrian Peterson. I'm not worried about Alex Collins. Neither one of them have been good. And we talked about the matchup. So yeah, whatever fab you got left, man. I mean, you can mix and match wide receivers. It's those running back spots that at this point of the year and that position overall, it's disgusting, dude. So I would just be blowing the clip, like, whatever you got left for Penny, man.
Adrian Peterson didn't even play on Sunday. Like, he didn't play a snap. So, not worried there. Penny played 35 snaps. Collins and DJ Dallas played 25 combined. And Penny also ran 14 routes. Like, he only had one target. But just there's a chance for him to get 15 to 18 touches per game the rest of the way. And the explosiveness was there. I think it was 113 of his rushing yards came after contact in that game. So it was good to see. It wasn't just because, you know, not that it really matters at this point, but it's always a little bit encouraging to see, okay, it wasn't just he had like a huge lane and just kind of scored an easy touchdown. Like, he broke long runs, broke tackles, and made plays. And that's what we needed to kind of see as a reminder, since we haven't seen him on the field consistently since he was drafted. So, is he going to be the running back of the future for Seattle? Probably not. Lived up to the hype when they drafted him? Definitely not. But for the last couple weeks of the fantasy playoffs, if he gets to, you know, some strong performances and get to a fantasy championship, I don't think anybody's going to care.
No, they're not, man. And I like the matchups outside of the game against the Rams.
The Bears actually, like, Akeem Hicks has not been playing. And, like, their splits the last couple years with him on and off in terms of the run defense, like, they are unsurprisingly a lot worse. And of course, we know Khalil Mack is done for the season still, so that defensive line is clearly nowhere close to what it was, you know, when the season started.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, man. So I think that he's the priority. He's the number one guy, and then really we're mixing and matching names behind him for this week. But heading to South Beach, one, I know, and yes, all the news, we're going to talk about the Miami backfield, but there's two Dolphins that you got on the list today, man.
I mean, technically, it could be like five, right? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
I have Tua, and then I just put, like, keep tabs on the Miami backfield, because prior to Sunday, we got word that Miles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed both tested positive for COVID. Miami was on their bye last week, so they didn't play. Then it's like, okay, Phillip Lindsay, they just brought him in, probably will get the start if they sit. He's now tested positive for COVID. So that leaves the Dolphins, if let's assume all three can't play and make it back in time for Sunday's game. That would leave the Dolphins with Duke Johnson, who I just every single week you see a report Duke Johnson is working out for this team, but he's on the Dolphins right now, and Malcolm Brown could be back, and it's not the most appealing. And if they were facing almost any other team in the league, I might just say, you know what, don't even worry about it. But they're facing the Jets, who just give up rushing touchdowns, not only to the starting running backs. They've given up more games where both running backs or multiple running backs have scored than any team in the league. They're allowing a league worst 1.8 rushing touchdowns per game. So yeah, we do need to keep tabs on this, like, because there's a lot of the moving parts here. Like, what if you know, all three don't make it back, and you could have Malcolm Brown, who this team's clearly, you know, relied on earlier in the season, getting goal line work and passing downs work on an offense that's playing well right now, a team that's rolling, and against a bad Jets defense. So definitely keep an eye on that. And then Tua, I mean, we've talked about Tua a lot in this podcast, but he's just playing really well right now. You look at the last, you know, since week 9, Tua is first in the NFL in completion percentage at 78%, first in adjusted completion percentage at 86%. And it's not just because he's been checking it down. I mean, his 7.7 yards per attempt during that span is 8th best in the NFL. Like, he's just playing really, really good football right now. Again, the Jets, more of a strong matchup against the run, but, like, they're just a bad team and a bad defense, so you can obviously throw on them. Tua just got Devontae Parker back, who hopefully got even more healthy and full strength after the bye week. We know how well Jalen Waddle's playing. Mike Gesicki's obviously still a very talented player. So if you are streaming, or even if, like, you go into your matchups, and I haven't looked at the every matchup yet, but, like, if you see somebody that you've been on the fence about, and, like maybe Kirk Cousins, right? What if Adam Thielen's not back this week? And I believe Minnesota has a Monday night game, so that makes it even more difficult. But what if Adam Thielen's not back, and you don't know, and you don't feel great about it? Maybe just say, you know what, I'll start Tua, who's been playing well and has a great matchup. So I didn't, and I also didn't want to bring up Taysom Hill, because we've talked about him. If Tua and Taysom Hill are out there, they're the top two quarterbacks to pick up if you're looking to stream, or in two quarterback leagues, or whatever. I mean, two quarterback leagues are not available, but what have you. If you're looking to stream, those are the two players to add.
Yeah, I don't disagree, man. And I love the Tua call. I mean, yes, he's been balling out, and he's near the top of even, like, deep ball passing completion percentage over that stretch too. So, like you're talking about, not a guy that's just checking down against, dude, if there's anybody, any team in the NFL that can make Malcolm Brown, of all freaking people, look like a startable NFL running back or starting caliber NFL running back, it is the damn Jets. So, yes, I absolutely agree. I mean, if he comes back to this backfield, whoever's going to be the starter, they get 12 to 15 touches. They're going to be viable in fantasy, so you got to be monitoring these guys and seeing how the situation sifts out, man. And I love Tua this week. I haven't formalized my ranks over at FTN Fantasy yet. He's probably going to find himself inside my top 12 quarterbacks, or right on the borderline of that if he's not. So I love the Tua call. You brought up Kirk Cousins, man. I would be fine with starting Cousins, and this is because of what KJ Osborne put up on tape last week.
Segway.
Like, played.
That's why you're professional, D-Bro.
Hey, man. Professional segways. That's what we're all about here, baby. I love Osborne this week and moving forward. As long as Adam Thielen is out, you saw a guy that won on the outside, ran 74% of his routes on the outside last week, talked about him on the Showdown DFS show that he could take a long one to the house. He did it. And he's a guy that got a 25% target share. He balled out, had a 2.8 yards per route run last week. And now he gets Chicago, the Rams, which the Rams are not a good secondary outside of Jalen Ramsey, Green Bay, and then Chicago again down the stretch. So we don't know anything about Adam Thielen. His health is still up in the air, but
I mean, it was a high ankle sprain, right? Like, they like Zimmer said he would be back this season.
Yeah, but it's but Zimmer too. So
that, well, there's that, but it's also like high ankle sprain. Like, that's usually a multi-week absence, I feel like. More so with running backs, I guess, but receivers, it's not like receivers is any sort of foot injury with a receiver is definitely worrisome. So, like, I know it's a Monday game. I wouldn't be shocked if Adam Thielen played. I'd be, like, pleasantly surprised, though.
Yeah, I honestly think I would be very surprised if he played, considering all the reports and stuff like that, at least, like, 1 week. Now, I know they pushed Dalvin Cook and he came back earlier. Dalvin Cook pushed himself, however you want to talk about it, but you know, he came back earlier than expected. I don't think we can necessarily 100% say that the same is going to be true for Adam Thielen. And I love KJ Osborne, man. I think that he is going to garner targets in a passing offense that, one, we've seen Minnesota the entire freaking season. They're top 10 in pace, top 10 in neutral passing rate. Those things are going to remain. And we know where the ball is going, Adam. Like, We know where the ball is going in Minnesota. It's going to go to a lot to Justin Jefferson. And after that, it's really, they're not spreading a lot of targets to Dalvin Cook. So you're looking at KJ Osborne as the number two in the offense. And considering how often this team is throwing the ball, hell yes, I love KJ Osborne. And I think just because people, they want to pigeonhole him as being like a slot wide receiver and can he win on the outside? He showed us last week he can win on the outside. And the secondaries that he's going up against are not fantastic. Outside of the Packers, the Bears, if you don't throw a Jalen Johnson, are a trash can. And the Rams, again, if you don't throw a Jalen Ramsey, they're a trash can. So
I mean, look what Lazard did on Sunday.
Absolutely, man. Like, they can crush them. And I think that KJ Osborne can walk away with some really good fantasy weeks down the stretch run. So he's a guy that I'd be prioritizing off of this list moving forward. We talked about all the Miami staying in the AFC East, man. Why do you got Gabriel Davis on here?
He's good at football. He should have been playing more all year. And, like, so ran around on 81% of the dropbacks last game. Emmanuel Sanders left with a sprained knee, and he's expected to be out. The Bills, credit to Brian Daboll and McDermott for just not even trying to run the football with anybody but Josh Allen in that game. And yes, they face Carolina, and it gets a little bit easier for them. But, like, this team is at its best when they put the ball in Josh Allen's hands. Like, that's just what it's going to come down to. Their offensive line's not generating any push to run block. Singletary's okay. Zach Moss has been a healthy scratch more, and he's been fantasy relevant this year. He was a healthy scratch last game. Like, they just need to air it out. And Gabriel Davis is now going to step in as the number three receiver. He had 8 targets last game, scored again, because whenever this team gets inside the 10-yard line, they run this play where it's like an RPO, and Davis runs like a quick little slant, and Allen throws an absolute missile to him, and he scores. That's happened 2 games in a row now. Like, Gabriel Davis, there was a lot of hype surrounding him, mostly from me.
Hey, I was in those streets too, okay? Toe drag swag was real, and I'll own it, okay?
Gabriel Davis, we thought the Bills would go a lot more 4 wide. We also, and as much as I love him, didn't expect this massive breakout from Dawson Knox, which we've seen, which has been awesome. But that, like, if Dawson Knox is breaking out, that's, you know, and you bring in Emmanuel Sanders, you know, that's going to hurt Davis. But now with, you know, Emmanuel Sanders out, we know this team is going to run 3 wide as much as any team in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, Gabriel Davis is a really strong, probably a top 35 receiver this week with the Bills. Assuming Josh Allen's good to go, I expect him to play. He's dealing with a foot sprain, but I fully expect Josh Allen to play. Yeah, I mean, Gabriel Davis, we saw the upside. We saw the downfield targets he got last year. He's going to step in and have that Emmanuel Sanders role, which, if you remember in the beginning of the season, Emmanuel Sanders was top 5 in both deep targets and end zone targets. And I'm not saying Gabriel Davis is going to be this team's number one target, but, like, Sanders had that role, and Gabriel Davis is stepping into that role. So yeah, like, add him, especially if on Osborne, you should have been adding KJ Osborne last week, regardless, especially if Adam Thielen's on your roster. If some reason you didn't, or he wasn't available, and you have Adam Thielen, pick up Gabriel Davis. I know the Vikings play Monday, but, like, I think you, at that point, you just say, okay, do I wait on Thielen or do I play Davis? You probably just play Davis and feel pretty decent about it. So, I'm very excited for Gabriel Davis to get, you know, more continued looks, because anytime the guy's on the field, he just makes plays and he has upside. He gets downfield targets, he gets end zone targets, and that's what you want in this Bills offense that should just not run the football the rest of the season. I'm sorry. Like, just don't even drop back. Like, just don't even drop back to pass less than 40 times a game.
I mean, legit, they don't have any running backs outside of Josh Allen on his legs. Like, don't give the damn ball to Matt Breida, Zach Moss, Devin Singletary. We've seen enough out of it just to know that it ain't working, man. It's not going to sit here and churn out the yards. It's not going to get you points on the board. So, screw it. They need to throw it. They need to run it with Josh Allen and just call it a rip, man. I love the Gabe Davis call. I think he's super talented, and you talked about it. Anytime he's gotten opportunities, we've seen him capitalize on them for the entirety of the season. So he gets a bump in snaps, routes, targets, means great things for, one, the Bills offense, and two, for Gabriel Davis. So staying on the wide receiver position, got 2 guys I want to bring up here real fast. One being Amon-Ra St. Brown, back-to-back games with 12 targets, man. You'd love to see it. He got 10 grabs, 8 grabs. This Lions team is not fantastic, but Amon-Ra St. Brown getting this type of volume on a weekly basis, running his routes from the slot, is going to be fantasy viable, especially in PPR leagues. Like, that type of volume, Adam, he gets into the end zone any week. You're talking about a top 20 wide receiver, considering that type of volume. The matchups upcoming are not great. Like, I would not be starting him versus Arizona. Yes, I know what Cooper Kupp just did to them, but it is freaking Cooper Kupp. And they have shut down every other opposing slot wide receiver.
By the way, that is really shocking, good. Dude. Remember when before the season started, we expected the Cardinals secondary to be really bad?
Yep.
But their pass rush has been good, even without Watt. And then the secondary, like they've just been really good. Like, that's the other thing about that team. Obviously, Kyler, when he's in there in the offense, James Conner has been great. Like, the offense is going to score points. But, like, their defense has been absurd this year.
They really have, man. I mean, we haven't talked, like, we actually, so in a lot of different write-ups to begin the season, making a lot of jokes, I was just like, look, they got Marco Wilson and they got, like, the zombified corpse of Robert Alford. Alford's played really well, and Byron Murphy has been electric. Like, I understand that Cooper Kupp just ate them up and ate them alive, but walking into that game, dude, like, Arizona was top five at every single metric versus slot wide receivers. So they have played extremely well. Their pass defense. Well,
Murphy's better in the slot, too. Didn't he play outside last year?
He played some outside last year. Yeah,
when they had injuries. He's better as a slot
corner. Yep. He is. He is really, really good. Like, I don't want to say he's, like, one of the best in the NFL, but he's in that conversation right now with the way he's playing.
Sure.
He's top shelf, man. So Arizona's pass defense is playing really well. But after that, Amon-Ra gets Atlanta, who you know you could beat them. And basically, if you don't throw at A.J. Terrell, you're golden, baby. Same thing with Seattle. If you're not throwing at DJ Reed, you're good. So Amon-Ra, I would not be starting him this upcoming week, but after that, I would be looking at him as a high-end flex play, maybe low-end wide receiver too, like I'm talking about. He gets this type of volume and gets into the end zone. It's possible. Just talked about that matchup versus Arizona, man. I want to stay in that same game upcoming. AJ Green, for what he's shown, and I know he had jokes before the season.
No, you had jokes. About how I was defending AJ Green.
I had jokes. Yep. I'll own the L on that one. Look, I had jokes about Antonio Brown. I was wrong. I had jokes about AJ Green. And again, I was wrong, man. But AJ Green.
Wait, what was our bet on Gallup and AB? Was it points per game? Because, like,
it was points per game.
You sure?
I'm definitely
because
sure.
If it was raw points, you might somehow come back and win.
No, it was points per game. We don't do raw points. We ain't doing any of that. We're not gonna suck it out just because of health, man. It's so we're gonna have to go back. We're gonna have to tabulate that up. Let Gallup play the rest of these games out and see where we fall, man. But I'm probably gonna be sucking egg on that one. But anyway, over to AJ Green taking another L here. AJ Green has been fantastic over the last few weeks. Like, we saw last night, he got a 20% target share versus the Rams. Now he gets, and we know he has the red zone and the deep role in this offense. He's basically second in line behind, Adam, I don't even want to say it, man, but we got to talk about it. Like, DeAndre Hopkins, at this point, is he cooked? Or you just think he's not healthy? He does not look like the same guy at all.
He's absolutely not washed by any means, but
he doesn't look like himself, man. So, like, what are we talking about? Injury? Because he does not look like him.
I tweeted last night, like, I wasn't even aware that DeAndre Hopkins was capable of dropping passes. Like, I didn't even know that was that was legitimately possible. I think what doesn't help, and we've talked about this a lot, especially you've talked about this a lot, since he's joined the Cardinals, they just don't move him around the formation, and I don't get it.
They don't.
I'm sure that doesn't help. Not that DeAndre Hopkins needs to move around. Like, I do think the hamstring may not be 100%. And it's like, he's so accustomed to getting 12 targets every game. And there's been a lot of games where it's like 3 to 6 targets. And that's just not.
He got 12 last night and he didn't do shit with
right,
them.
Right. But nothing. I'm saying, I feel like he's so used to getting that every game. And that hasn't happened this year. So maybe he's just not in the same rhythm. I don't know. I definitely don't think he's washed by any means, though.
He's washed, but dude, he did not look like himself. Like, you watched the game, like, there were multiple contested balls and basically plays that, like, we've seen DeAndre Hopkins make just religiously over his entire career, and there's contested catches, there's other situations where, like, Well, damn, he didn't come down with it. I mean, it's almost like you're expecting Hopkins to do Hopkins types of things, and then he doesn't. And it's almost more startling when you see that aspect of it, and you're like,
"Yeah,
well, crap, is he hurt? Like, I'm not just willing to sit here and put him out the pasture and say he's done as being an elite wide receiver, but it is notable when you see those differences play out on the NFL field, and you're like, I mean, I'm not saying he's washed, but maybe he's not the elite of the elite anymore.
Well, let me ask you this. Where would you rank him among receivers? Not fantasy, just... You know, NFL receivers, where would you rank him? Like, we know who number one is. I mean, is Cup two now? Like, he might be two.
I don't know if he's making my top 10 or 12. I mean, to be honest.
So Adams, Cup, Justin
Put
Jefferson.
Diggs in there.
Diggs.
Justin Jefferson. That's four.
Tyreek.
Five.
Cup.
You already talked about Cup.
No, I said, did I? Oh, I did. Okay, so that's at five.
Yep.
Then you have Keenan Allen. That's tough. I think this time a year ago, I was like, oh, he's clearly, if he's not one, he's two or three. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know if he's making the top 10, man. I mean, to be honest with you. And this all leads me back to AJ Green. And if Hopkins is not effective and if he's not healthy, and again, we have to see what practice reports and things like look like after this week and stuff. But if he's not effective or healthy, AJ Green is going to be the other guy that steps up in his stead. He's been the number two all season long. He's right behind him in deep targets when they've both been on the field. He's right behind him in red zone looks when they've both been on the field. And if you watched the game last night, it's really hard to say, like, if you put apples to apples and said, okay, you walked away, you took the names out of it, who is the more effective receiver last night in that game? And I know it's a one-game sample, but we got to talk about it, people. AJ Green looked better than DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm not trying to spit hot takes here. I'm not trying to say, like, okay, he's definitively better and Hopkins is terrible and stuff like that. But if Hopkins is dealing with certain things right now that we're not knowing about, because teams, yes, they put out their injury reports, but people, we need to understand you take those with a grain of salt. How many seasons do we have to hear at the end of the season where it comes out and it says, okay, the team says, oh yeah, I mean, the guy was basically playing on one leg for the entire season. Well, crap, I wish I'd have known that. Wouldn't have started him in multiple weeks in fantasy. But it happens every single season.
It already happened this year, Antonio Brown's injury.
Yep.
He got hurt that Eagles game on Thursday night, and all of a sudden, like, after he missed, like, 5-6 weeks, Schefter comes out and says Antonio Brown's diagnosis was initially 6 weeks, so putting him on track to play, then obviously got suspended. Like, nobody knew it was a 6-week time frame. We just knew he was banged up.
We kept hearing 2 to 3 weeks. All we kept hearing was 2 to 3 weeks, and then it would get updated, and it was like, oh, there's another week. Oh, there's another 2 weeks. But it's the same thing. It's like Michael Thomas last year. It's like, holy shit, like, no wonder Drew Brees and Michael Thomas look like crap in the playoffs and stuff. It's like, well, he's playing on one leg, and he's playing with only one arm, and it's not his throwing arm. So we don't hear about all these things in season. Again, leads me back, and this is a long rant about, dear Lord, I didn't think I was going to spend 10 minutes on AJ Green, but here we are. And this is an offense that we know is still can put up points. They're going to be top five in points probably the rest of the season. Kyler Murray being back under center. Yes, he's running more now. They're still going to throw the ball, man. So I like AJ Green as a pickup and moving forward for the rest of the season. They get the Lions, they get the Colts, they get the Cowboys, and then the Seattle Seahawks. So, I mean, not a great or fantastic schedule, but I think it's good enough.
I think it's great. You said Lions.
I mean,
and
I think
Colts?
It's pretty good. Yeah.
The Lions allow the highest average depth of target in the NFL. We know AJ Green, over 50% of his targets have come 20 yards down the field. He's been the deep target. The Colts are them and Washington as the most pass funnel defenses in the league. Like, you don't run on them, but you can throw whenever you want against them. I love that for AJ Green. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good schedule, man. Like, if he gets the volume that we've been seeing, and like we're talking about, yes, they're spreading around targets in Arizona, but you could pencil him in for an 18 to 20% target share on most different weeks, or he's going to be hovering around that. And he has the high value touches and roles that we want, the deep targets and the red zone role in this offense. So I like AJ Green moving forward, man. Before we get up out of here, give me this last name that you got to spit for the running back position.
Yeah, real quick though, can you imagine how awesome it would be if there's a ton of fantasy teams that win their championship because of Amon-Ra St. Brown?
You love it, dude. I mean, we talked about him all off season, and I didn't poo-poo him, but you were definitely higher on him, and for good reason, man. I talked about it. I said, look, like, I look at him, if he has a good rookie season, it could be, like, poor man's Jarvis Landry, and you look over the last 2 weeks, Adam, like, that's kind of what he's been. He's getting the targets. He's running the routes. The team's not great. And Amon-Ra is getting a lot of volume, dude. And he's quietly, like, I mean, over the last few weeks, he's put up good yardage. Like, even if you go back to week 4, like 70 yards, 65, then some duds, 60 yards, some duds, 86, 73. He only has one touchdown on the season, dude. If the regression hits and he scores a few more touchdowns down the stretch, I think he could be a great pickup for people. As well as the guy you're about to talk about here. And we've already seen him ball out in multiple weeks when he had the lead back role, man.
Yeah. And real quick with Amon-Ra, there's been Kupp comparisons. He's not Cooper Kupp. He's not going to be Cooper Kupp. But Jared Goff has been talking him up the last handful of weeks, saying he can be as good as he wants to be. The connection's been there the last two games with 24 targets the last two games. And what do we see with the Rams? We saw it last night. Cooper Kupp lines up in the backfield a lot and runs these quick outs and gets an easy 8-9 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown's been lining up in the backfield the last 2 weeks. So they're just scheming ways to get him the ball. Yes, I know Hockenson didn't play. Yes, I know DeAndre Swift's been out, but Swift might not play the rest of the season. So, yeah, love Amon-Ra. And then Kareem Hunt left Sunday's game with an injury. They don't expect him to play. So not saying you go out and you start him, but we've seen what D'Ernest Johnson can do when he gets the opportunity in this Cleveland offense. He's obviously going to back up Nick Chubb, but if anything were to happen to Nick Chubb, or, you know, it's possible that in games where the Browns can just establish the run and kind of dominate from the line of scrimmage, which they can do very often given that offensive line, it's very possible that D'Ernest Johnson could get 8 to 10 touches as a deeper league flex. And of course, if anything does happen to Nick Chubb, we've seen how good he can be and how he's an absolute must-start running back in fantasy. So, again, I wouldn't just run out and start him this week, but definitely somebody to add, especially if you have Chubb on your team or Hunt on your team and you're looking for that insurance.
Yeah, I like it, man. And the other thing about it is with Kareem Hunt being out, I mean, I think that you could start D'Ernest Johnson in a pinch in the flex. Like, we've seen him garner red zone looks when Hunt has been out. He's been involved in the backfield. Has it been a ton of volume? No. But he's got the league-winning type of upside if anything happens to Chubb. Outside of that, you're looking at a guy that's probably going to be somewhere in that RB3 conversation on a weekly basis, because we've seen Cleveland, one, they want to run the ball, and two, they're not going to give Nick Chubb all of the work. It just doesn't happen, man. For whatever reason, Cleveland is just not going to do that. They don't want Chubb to be a full three down back, running routes, getting targets, and all these different things. So D'Ernest Johnson's going to have a role in this backfield, man. So I like the call. Before we get up out of here, got to tell everybody, the good people out there, about Profit Exchange again. Coming soon to New Jersey, this is a peer-to-peer betting exchange, giving price-sensitive users the ability to get the best odds and sports and prices in sports betting. So you set a line or price for others to bet on, or you place a bet on an existing line. Right now, Profit Exchange is running a promotion called Exchange the Love. So with this, they are going to increase the go-live deposit match by $25 for every 500 people they get pre-registered before launch. Go to ProfitExchange.com, ProphetExchange.com, 21 and over, and present in New Jersey. Terms apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Adam, that is all the waiver wire targets for this week. Good luck to everybody in your fab bids. We're going to be back talking about Dynasty, talking about trade targets, talking about all these different things to help your rosters in the offseason. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.